The conference is now being recorded.
Just one joining, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we have to boost the one. Good morning, everybody. We're just waiting for more participants to join us. We'll make certain we make a start by 5 past the hour. Thank you. Good morning. Just a reminder that we're holding.
Has joined the conference.
Good morning. Just a reminder that we're holding for other participants to join, and we'll make a start by 5 past the hour. Thank you.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Good morning, and welcome to the Eurosite Power second quarter 2018 conference call. All participants will initially be in listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, you'll be invited to ask questions. Participants are also reminded that a recording of this call will be available from the investors section of the company's website within an hour of the call ending. I would now like to hand over to Eurosite Power Chairman, Mr. Jacques de Saussure. Please go ahead, Jacques.
Thank you, Paul. I'm pleased to welcome all participants to our second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. As most of you will know, we haven't had a conference call to talk about our results since the company deregistered its stock at the end of 2016. However, given all that's happening within the company, we felt it would be useful to give investors an opportunity to hear directly from management and to ask questions. Before we make a start, I first want to introduce the members of our team that are joining me on today's call. We have Elias Samaras, our CEO, Paul Hemblin, the Managing Director of our U.K. company, Laura Chambers, the U.K. company's Management Accountant and Company Secretary, and
Alexander Samaras.
And for the first time.
Has joined the conference.
I'm delighted to introduce the Chairman and CEO of Bluegreen Gas and Power, our joint venture company in Greece, Mr. Sofoklis Papanikolaou. Next, I would like to invite Laura to read our safe harbor statement. Laura, please.
Thank you, Jacques. This conference call will contain forward-looking statements that may describe strategies, goals, outlooks, or other non-historical matters, or projected revenues, income, returns, or other financial measures. These statements are only predictions and involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause our actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Given these uncertainties, you should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements. Among the factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from past or projected future results are the following: fluctuations in demand for our products and services, competing technological developments, issues relating to research and development, the availability of incentives, rebates, and tax benefits relating to our products and services, changes in the regulatory environment relating to our products and services, integration of acquired business operations, and the ability to obtain financing on favorable terms to fund existing and new operations and anticipated growth. In addition to generally accepted accounting practices, or GAAP, this call will include reference to certain non-GAAP financial measures, including adjusted EBITDA, which excludes certain expenses as described. We use adjusted EBITDA as an internal measure of business operating performance and believe that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures provides a meaningful perspective of the underlying operating performance of our current business, so enabling investors to better understand and evaluate our historical and prospective operating performance by eliminating items that vary from period to period without correlation to our core operating performance and highlights trends in our business that may not otherwise be apparent when relying solely on GAAP financial measures.
Thank you very much, Laura. Before Elias and Paul take you through our results in detail, I wanted to start by highlighting three specific points about the company's performance. First, following on from the four-pillar strategy deployed during 2016, the company has been focused on achieving and then maintaining a positive cash flow. As you will know, we first achieved during 2017, and today's results show this is something that has continued in 2018. I'm sure you will agree that this was an important objective. The next step is to move from positive cash flow to profitability. We set this as a primary aim for the U.K. operation this year. While the U.K. company achieved a small profit in quarter one this year, we were unable to maintain this position through quarter two. That said, the outlook for the rest of the year, and in particular for the fourth quarter, looks promising, and Paul and his team are working very hard to achieve this target. Finally, a quick point about our future strategy. The board has been focused on acquiring another company to scale the business more quickly. Indeed, we spent a lot of time and money pursuing a specific target, but after much negotiation, it proved impossible to reach an agreement beneficial to our company, and so we withdrew our offer. At the same time, we made significant progress in expanding our activities outside the U.K., and we also successfully completed our investment in the joint venture in Greece. Together, these events have led the board to conclude that we are best focusing our attention on organically growing both the U.K. and non-U.K. operations by seeking larger, more diverse projects. By year-end, we hope to be able to announce significant progress in this area. With that, I shall now hand on to Elias. Elias, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it is the first time since I undertook the company in June 2015 to see Eurosite make such a tremendous progress and expand outside the U.K. with project opportunities beyond my initial imagination. In fact, events are happening as we talk and happen so often that we decided our shareholders to be regularly informed and be aware of them. We are therefore starting our regular conference calls and announcements again, but this time with emphasis on real progress and not on ordinary daily stories. All of you, our shareholders, have been very patient and supportive from day number one, and I deeply appreciate and thank you for that. I know that each one of you, including myself, want to see our investments grow and not written off. I also understand we want this to happen not in the next 5 years, but as soon as practically possible. With developments going on, I hope we will not be disappointed. Well, gentlemen, I think Eurosite Power is getting into a new era. We no longer limit ourselves to CHP installations and OSU projects, the on-site utility projects. We focus on a wider spectrum, such as energy management, asset management, energy efficiency services, and we use modern information technology methods, such as artificial intelligence and smart monitoring, to deliver deep value to all customers. We also do turnkey projects whenever the OSU solution is less advantageous. Well, as always, Paul will take you through all the details, but before that, I would like to give you some highlights briefly. First, I want to quickly return to the four pillars, as Jacques mentioned, as I think they are important. To remind you, these were to secure a source of project finance, to move maintenance in-house, to offer gas resale agreements to our customers, and to expand our operations in Europe. All four pillars, as you know, are now firmly established, and we continue to see the benefits of those already. For example, our cash reserves have remained stable as we have been able to call on the finance deal with Société Générale. Gross margin has improved as we have brought more TEDUM units under our care. And today we announce that our joint venture, Blue Grid Gas and Power, have signed their first OSU contract in Greece. Second, I must tell you the plan to acquire another company was not successful. While we were confident the target company was an excellent match for Eurosite Power, the deal simply became impossible to secure, and the board unanimously agreed to withdraw. Yes, it costed us over $200,000 in fees, but I think we learned an important lesson that has helped us inform our current thinking. Well, that lesson was fundamentally that we have a good business, a strong team of people to work with, and a strong board and shareholders group which needs to be bold in looking for and grabbing larger opportunities than it has traditionally looked for. Work within the last few months has already uncovered a number of significant opportunities both in the UK and outside the UK. were even speaking with a major soft drinks producer about solutions for their plants in many countries worldwide. With the board's help, we hope we can close sometime these deals and not far away in the future. Of course, nothing is ever simple, and as our second quarter results show, we have suffered an increased loss this quarter. We are disappointed by all means by this, especially given the progress made throughout 2017 and earlier this year, the first quarter. However, in reality, much of the expense contributing to the loss from operations must be considered exceptional, in particular the cost of the aborted acquisition plus some other one-off litigation costs are just costs that definitely should be considered exceptional. After, in fact, stripping these costs out, the underlying loss for the quarter is only 140,000, which is an improvement by 50-something thousand. Positive. With this brief description, I would like to hand over to Paul to give you more details about our results. Paul, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ilias. Thank you. Well, welcome everybody. I think it's always useful before I go into the detail about the operations, just to summarise for everyone's benefit what we as Eurosite Power do. We offer on-site utility solutions to our customers here in the UK, and since the third quarter of last year, customers can now also buy solutions as what we call a turnkey project. Remember, with an OSU solution, we own and operate the energy generation equipment, and primarily that equipment is combined heat and power, or CHP. We sell the electricity, the heat, and the hot water on long-term contracts to our customers. As Ilias has said, we've now added to our portfolio a range of other services, including energy efficiency advice, asset and energy management, and including within that some modern IT technologies such as artificial intelligence. Here in the UK, I'm supported by a staff of 10, together with some installation subcontractors and a specialist partner that helps us provide planned preventative maintenance to some of our TEDM fleet of CHP units. Turning now to some of the financial highlights for the period, operationally revenue increased by some 20% to a little over $950,000 in the quarter. This growth was entirely due to increased energy revenues compared to the same period last year. In fact, energy production for the quarter was up 5.7% at just under 13.5 million kilowatt hours of energy. While we did start operation of one new system at the Celtic Manor Clubhouse late in June this year, the increased energy production and revenue was actually largely driven by improvements made in the day-to-day operation of our fleet. And I think that's very much the benefit of bringing the maintenance in-house. We've seen increased reliability resulting from all our fleet, including the TECAGEN product within the fleet. With Celtic Manor Clubhouse now operating, our fleet now numbers 37 systems at 34 sites with a totaled installed capacity of 4,199 kilowatts, to be very precise. Gross margin excluding depreciation on energy revenue improved from 43.5% for the period ended 30th of June 2017 to 45.2% for the same period this year. This continues the upward trend we've seen in previous quarters and is primarily due to lower maintenance costs as more of the TEDM fleet exit their warranty period and also slightly increased spark spread in the UK market. We did incur aborted acquisition costs totaling just under $250,000, and these are reported within the general and administrative expenses within our consolidated statements for the quarter. In addition, a further $40,000 of litigation expenses were incurred during the quarter, and as Ilias has already said, I think these expenses should be considered as exceptional items. Loss from operations in the second quarter was $421,450 compared to a loss from operations in the same period last year of $193,000. This includes the exceptional items, and as Ilias has already said, if you strip those out, actually our loss from exceptional items was an improvement of some $53,000 over the same period last year, which is a 30% improvement. The UK operating subsidiary achieved a positive EBITDA cash flow for the second quarter in 2018. The total that we delivered was £67,986, some $89,000. This compares to the £77,000 delivered through last year, so a very slight drop. Why did that happen? Well, this was entirely due to some ongoing losses we've incurred associated with one project in particular, a project called Guildford Spectrum, which was the first turnkey project that we'd undertaken. And if you strip this loss out, in fact, our EBITDA cash flow positive would have been higher than it was last year. Overall, the company achieved a positive adjusted non-GAAP EBITDA for the second quarter of $10,973. This compares to the figure of $45,627 in the same quarter of last year. Turning now to the fleet performance, as of the end of June in 2018, our operating fleet numbered 37 systems. Breaking that down, 15 of those were the Tetragen Inverdi product, 18 were manufactured by Tedham, one is an MAN product, and then we have three other smaller products provided by other manufacturers. Significantly, the number of Tedham units within the fleet has now gone past that tipping point of 50%. And I think we're seeing that and the benefit of that within our energy generation and also in our gross margin figures. Fleet capacity now stands at just under 4,200 kilowatts, as I said. That's some 265 kilowatts up on the fleet that we had in operation at the same time last year. Currently, our operations team consists of two technicians and an operations manager, but we are in the process of recruiting a third technician as we have more of the Tedham units coming to the end of their warranty period over the coming months. What we've learned from recruiting our own team is that careful selection is really important. Getting the right people in will improve our reliability yet further, and this is particularly the case when we look at the Tetragen product. A couple of other operational changes that have helped us improve performance, and I know that we've discussed these points previously. We've moved to sampling oil to determine when our major service intervals are needed. This is rather than relying upon what the book tells us to do. We've also moved to a new oil. It is slightly more expensive, but we're getting greater longevity from that oil and the components that are lubricated by the oil. We're using a greater benefit of condition-based maintenance, as I mentioned earlier. And Tetragen have introduced a new engine to replace the older General Motors engines that were within their units. And we've seen far better reliability from this product as we've been replacing it across the fleet. And as I mentioned earlier, with the fleet of Tedham units now exceeding 50%, we're seeing a general uptick in the reliability of the fleet, and I think that will continue as more Tedham units become installed. Looking at the projects themselves, we have a total of six projects in backlog, totaling just under 1 megawatt or 1,000 kilowatts in terms of capacity, and a total contract value to be forecast to be around £9 million or some $11.9 million. This doesn't include the 70-kilowatt solution for Dunstable Leisure Centre, which we actually secured as a new contract at the beginning of July of this year. Construction of the 410-kilowatt project at Guildford Spectrum is now complete, and the unit is already providing beneficial use to the client. Site acceptance testing has now been completed, and we're now moving towards practical completion before the end of the month. Yes, as I hinted earlier, this project has been problematic from start to finish, primarily due to our lack of experience at delivering these type of turnkey projects. But we've learned a lot from that process, and we've proven with further turnkey projects that actually we can deliver these in a successful way and make good money from them. The systems for Dunstable Leisure Centre, Hallmark Hotel in Glasgow and Medway Park Leisure Centre are also well under construction, with at least two of these due to be completed during quarter three of this year. The remaining systems in backlog are at various stages of implementation. Importantly, in June, we saw our first full-time mechanical design engineer start within the company. This means we no longer need to rely upon external consultants, and it also signifies the start of various changes that we've put in place to improve our design quality, project budgeting, and overall documentation. Turning now to sales, As I said, we did secure a new contract at the beginning of July, but in fact, during the second quarter, we didn't secure any new projects. However, we did sign a number of heads of terms.
Has left the conference.
We did sign a number of heads of terms or term sheets with a number of customers. This included two on-site utility agreements in the period, and also another one for a turnkey project. We've also, since the quarter close, signed a 15-year on-site utility agreement for the Dunstable Leisure Centre. Another heads of terms that we signed was with Celtic Manor. Some of you may remember that this is an existing client. Importantly, this heads of terms was for a new solution, a 750-kilowatt battery storage solution to work alongside the existing CHP systems and help the client to provide enhanced security of supply and to take advantage of grid and markets right income available from the national grid here in the UK. The Blue Grid Gas and Power joint venture has also made significant progress, but as we have their CEO with us, Sophocles Papanicolaou, I think it's best that he tells you about that. So please, Sophocles, go ahead.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to speak with you and to tell you a little more about Blue Grid Gas and Power. As a very quick introduction, we are pursuing two objectives in the Greek market. First, small-scale LNG sales and distribution, LNG standing for liquefied natural gas, and secondly, energy efficiency services via combined heat and power and combined cooling, heating and power technologies. On the energy efficiency side, I'm happy to announce that we have signed our first contract. It was signed with the Genesis Maternity Hospital in Thessaloniki, which is the second largest city in Greece, and it regards a Trigen project with a 355-kilowatt CHP engine. It is actually the first OSU-type contract to be signed in Greece. There's still some way to go until we have an operating project for this reason, including some rather complicated bureaucracy because we are encountering many things for the first time, but we're finally able to put our theories to the test and work towards something tangible. Realistically speaking, we'd be happy if we were operational by the second quarter of 2019. We're still pushing on a number of different opportunities in both the capital Athens and Thessaloniki on energy efficiency, and there are several hotels and hospitals currently in the pipeline. On the LNG side of the business, we're focusing on the following priorities. First, remote industrial and commercial customers lacking access to the existing natural gas pipeline. Secondly, LNG or CNG-fueled vehicles. And thirdly, LNG bunkering opportunities, which is effectively providing LNG as a fuel to other ships. We're currently in the process of delivering our first industrial customer project. This is a large plasterboard manufacturing plant in Western Greece. As part of this development, we've agreed on a framework agreement with a large Spanish gas infrastructure company and a Greek gas equipment manufacturing company for the formation of an LNG logistics company to invest in all infrastructure related to this project should we agree with the customer and get a green light for the project. We plan to submit a technical and commercial proposal to the customer by the end of September. The idea is that as Blue Grid, we sell the LNG, and as our joint logistics company, we invest in the infrastructure that will allow for the LNG to be sold. If the project is viable, investment and company formation are likely to take place within Q2 or Q3 2019. And with this, I'd like to hand back to Paul.
Thank you, Sophocles. So returning to the UK operation, on the sales side, we actually made a new appointment in May of a head of sales and business development. Since starting, we've already seen an improvement in the sales pipeline. Other staff have also been retasked to support sales activity, and I myself am spending an increasing amount of time actually out selling. As a result, the UK sales pipeline now includes over 35 live qualified opportunities, including a number of multi-site and larger system projects that will be sold either as on-site utility solutions or as turnkey contracts. We've also changed our sales process to incorporate a term sheet or a heads of terms. This is proving very successful as it provides us an early opportunity to secure a commitment from a customer and is helping to improve the quality of the engineered solution and the project delivery by allowing us to use a greater amount of design and planning in the sales process. Internationally, a number of other major projects have been identified, including other large-scale tri-generation or combined cooling, heat and power opportunities within Greece that Sophocles has already mentioned. And the company is also working with a major soft drinks manufacturer, as Ilias described earlier on. As Ilias has said, strategically, the company aims to close contracts or provide heads of terms for projects outside the UK in the immediate future, and we're working very hard to bring that to fruition. In addition, my team and I are working on diversifying our offer to include those other technologies, things like energy storage, other forms of on-site generation, and other energy efficiency measures. And with that, I'd like to hand back to Jack, please.
Thank you, Paul. And before we go to the Q&A session, I would like just to quickly remind you of the key aspects of our discussion today. We updated you on the strategy, which is now focusing primarily on organic growth and expansion both in the UK and in Greece. We updated you on financial developments with, unfortunately, an increase in loss, but primarily because of non-recurring exception costs associated with the aborted acquisition. And we also updated you on our operations and finally gave you an introduction of our joint venture in Greece. You will be able to find full information on our website with a press release, which is published today on our website. And with all of this, I would like now to take the questions, and it's Paul Hamblin who's going to see who's asking questions, then give you the word, and then moderate the questions. Paul.
Thank you, Jacques. So you may now ask questions. Could I ask you to push star and then one on your telephone handset if you wish to ask a question? And then I'll invite you one at a time to actually pose your question. So that's push star and one if you'd like to ask a question. Well, at the moment, we don't have anybody wishing to ask any questions. I'll just repeat that instruction once again. If you would like to ask a question, please push star and one on your telephone handset. So it would appear that there are no questions at this time. So I'll just give it one more attempt. Otherwise, we'll bring the call to a close. So that's star and one on your handset, please.
Paul, make sure that they're unmuted now. Everybody's unmuted.
Yes. Everybody is, Ilias. So,
okay.
It would appear that nobody has a burning question to ask, which is fine. I'll just conclude things by just reminding everybody that a recording of this call will be available within an hour on the investor section of our website. And as Jacques has already said, the press release announcing today's results, along with all the consolidated financial statements, is now also available from our website as well. And with that, I think it brings the call to an end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Jacques de Saussure
has left the conference.